Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back.
Yo, yo, yo. What up?
He's back. Go ahead and say it the way you know you want to say it.
Alexander the Great Banks.
This man. It really did grow from, I can't believe you did that, to it wouldn't feel right if you started the podcast without it.
It's unnatural if I don't do it, so I have to do it.
It does. It does. That's Savage. I'm Civil, and we are here to bring you some more entertainment joy. We got a couple things to talk about today. I first want to kind of start with kind of talking about how we feel today, because Banks and I were talking before the podcast, and he was asking, like, hey, are we going to record today? You know, because we record on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And I said, honestly, man, it's not that I don't want to record. I'm just having kind of a tough day mentally.
So what's going on with me? Talk to me. I'm your friend.
Absolutely. So, you know, like, my wife, and you know this, but folks who listen probably don't know this. My wife is working out of state for the next couple months. I live in Georgia. She's working out of Georgia. And so I see her on the weekends, and it's like 36 hours total. Like, yeah, Friday night, Sunday, up until the afternoon when she goes back to the airport, and then Saturday. And it's just, you know, when you're away from your spouse for, you know, all week long, and you deal with this, Banks, because you're every the spouse day. Who's away.
That's
right. You're the spouse who's gone all week. But
although I think my wife is just happy that I'm out of her face, but that's a whole other story.
Nah, podcast. Nah, she probably misses you.
She does.
Yeah, she probably miss. Look, it's probably like one of the things where you're happy to have, you know, a little piece of quiet for a day or two, and then after that, you're like, okay, I really miss this person. Whereas, like, for me, it's like, okay, like, the whole week, I don't see her. I talk to her at the end of the night. You know, everybody's busy. We got things we're doing. And then the weekend comes, and, like, we're tired, you know? And it's so there's not a lot of time. And then that time, I told her, I said, this weekend, I said, the time we spend together feels like the ends of the loaves of bread.
Right.
You know, like the end,
the crap part that nobody wants to eat.
Yeah, the part that you eat because, like, all the other pieces are gone and you're hungry and you're like, you know what, let me swallow my pride and eat the end of this loaf. So, yeah,
you know what makes that, you know what's worse with that piece of bread? Like, trying to make French toast and you get down to that piece and you're like, God damn, somebody's got to get this jacked up piece of French toast.
That's where you
around. That's so random, but I had to put it out there. But continue, sir, please.
That's where you take a look at everyone and you say, okay, who do I like the least? Okay.
Right, exactly. All right, I'll give it to my oldest. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. It's like, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. So, you know, like, it's just one of those things where, like, it's not that I'm depressed or anything. It's just that I don't really have, like, great days when she's gone. It's like the ceiling of my day is capped at decent. So it's like the best day I can have is a decent day or an okay day. Like, so it's just kind of like trying to find those things that I can do that kind of give me that boost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, just eat some chocolate or eat something sweet, you know, but some
euphoria and oxytocin. Gotcha.
Right. Now, and for me, like, I'm on a weight loss journey and I've been doing really well. So I don't really want to eat, you know, like, in that way. Although I did pick up some fruit and some dark chocolate at the store today just to try to help me. So I, you know, going to the gym helped, because I told you I was like, I'll see how I feel after the gym, and going to the gym helped. And then I came home and I said, okay, if I could do that workout, because my workouts are tough. I was like, if I could do that workout, I can hang out. And I think it helps hanging out with somebody, you know, where, you know, for us, this podcast is not just a quote unquote podcast. It's like a recorded conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, this is how we normally would talk to each other. And we talk about real life shit like this. And I crack a bunch of jokes, probably more than I should, but, you know,
never.
At the end of the day too, man, like, I think part of, part of physical health can be an attribute for mental health as well. So
absolutely,
if you're feeling down, or even me, like traveling as much as I do, I'm always at a hotel and I always got a gym on the first floor or close by that if I'm feeling like some kind of like sad way or frustrated, I can just pop into the gym, lift some weights, do a workout routine, and then just kind of feel so much better about my day and things that go on. And again, I have a high stress job too, so I'm always thinking about that, and then just hitting the gym, just releasing those endorphins and getting that solid workout helps a whole lot with just, you know, creating better mental health and physical health. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what, like I learned throughout the pandemic, because the pandemic was really rough on my mental health to the point where I went and got therapy, and it was a big help. And one of the things I would talk to my therapist about was, hey, let's make sure you go outside. Cause I'm an extrovert. And so, you know, being isolated at home, cause I have asthma and really can't afford to catch COVID. And then, you know, not being able to get energy from being around people, it was just rough. And so because of that, it was just, you know, really tough, but I picked up some skills and things that I learned. And one of them is, you got to make sure you go outside, you know, like talking to myself and like, okay, so like today I didn't go outside until I went to the gym. I think that affected me. And then also it was raining, so that kind of affected me. But, you know, one thing that actually helped that I didn't anticipate was some candles. You know, like I was cleaning the kitchen and I lit a candle because my wife used to work for a fragrance place. And so she's got like all these candles, right?
Right.
And people may laugh, but fellas, don't knock the candles till you try them. I'm telling you, man, you look, you get some mahogany teak wood or some coffee or like leather or like one of these like quote unquote manly fragrances, and it can really like make you feel better. Like it can really kind of brighten your mood. And I put a candle on, I don't even know what fragrance it was, but just that scent kind of helped me feel better. So I'm feeling better. I appreciate you checking on me, and I appreciate you being cool with the fact that if I wasn't down to record today, you would have been cool with that. So thank you. Look, I appreciate it.
That's what I'm here for. And just to reiterate on your candle thing, I have a book. I'm writing a book about sales and marketing, right? And then, sensory marketing is literally the best thing in the world, because when you take that sense of smell, it accounts for 75% of our feelings, and people mm-hmm. don't really notice that. So when you're using scents like baked goods, chocolate chip cookies, coffee, like
bacon, you
just said, cinnamon rolls, vanilla, bacon is always good. About mm-hmm. it makes me happy. Using those scents can trigger comfort and euphoria. So that's just a little snippet of my book.
Yeah.
So, but just, you know, sensory marketing is a good sales technique, and it's also it triggers emotional responses whenever you smell certain items. And like I said, you know, baked goods are typically like the number one up there, and coffee is up there as well. So
yeah, and it triggers memories, because like my wife and I were talking about like how, like, for example, she doesn't drink coffee, but she loves the smell of coffee because it brings back memories of her childhood. You know, like the way that our noses and fragrances connect to memories in our brain in a way that other senses don't connect to memories is just really fascinating. So speaking of memories, there's a guy out here who's going to have memories that he's going to try to bury for the rest of his life because he is lame and what he did was terrible. Today we are debuting a new segment, y'all. It is to tweet. Yeah. It's called to tweet
or not to tweet. There we go.
That is the question.
We didn't have that prepared to segue into it, but that was beautiful what we just did.
I thought it was special. Like, I felt the connection.
We shared a moment.
We've been wanting to talk about stuff that happens on Twitter, because I'm on Twitter all the time, and I like Twitter more than the other social media platforms. And something happened today on Twitter that I just thought, this is the day
oh, yeah.
that This is the day. We're going to talk about this today. Okay. So Beggs doesn't know what happened. I'm going to tell him. He's going to find out, as y'all find out, if you did not hear about this. Okay. So a guy named Eric Sanchez tweeted this out, and I want you to hear what he said. Okay. He tweeted out, "A few hours ago, as my wife and I came home, I was about to unlock my daughter from her car seat when a car came speeding down our street. I flicked the car off. I flicked them off. Mm-hmm. The car stopped and the driver came out of the car and struck me in the face repeatedly."
What?
Second tweet. I begged for my life as my wife screamed, and I assumed I saw my daughter for the last time. This is life in New Orleans, as Mayor Cantrell said. And he tagged the mayor.
Oh, God.
He said it's not for everyone. He was quoting the mayor. This guy, who is on a campaign to try to recall the mayor,
right,
went on TV and the news and was interviewed about flicking someone off who was driving by him. Oh, and they got out and they fought him. And to survive, as he says, he played dead. He went limp. He pretended like he was dead to avoid a further beating.
Wow.
And then went on the news to say this is why the mayor should be recalled.
There's so many questions I have about this. So,
oh my God, dude, you can't make this stuff up, man.
This segment starts off really well. There's so many thoughts here. First of all, like, okay. Oh, man. I'm trying to get there, man. I know.
Take your time.
So the guy was in his driveway already, right?
Nah, he was in the street.
He was in the street. And he flicked somebody off in the street.
Oh, no. I have breaking news about the tweet. Oh, wait. Okay. Wait, hold on. No, you finish.
There's more tweeting. There's more tweeting.
No. There's more, but no, you go ahead.
I just want to say, look.
You go ahead.
If the car wasn't, if the car that was speeding by wasn't about to hit you, there is absolutely no reason to flip anybody off. And you do it, you flipping people off like you're a badass, but then you get your ass whooped. Like, I completely understand your frustration with people speeding down the street while you're trying to get your kid out of the car. I completely understand that frustration. But you don't know people nowadays, man. It ain't got nothing to do with the mayor. It got to do with you. You got to be the bigger person. If he didn't hit you, then good. But if he would have tried to hit me, or if he would have been close enough to hit me, I would have been fighting back as hard as I can. But if you're gonna bitch up like that, you should not get involved with in an altercation that you could potentially get your ass with.
So listen, besides the fact that this is hilarious,
it is super hilarious. Okay,
there's some lessons here, and there's some, you know what this is like.
No, I'm sorry. Please tell me.
You know what this is like?
Yes, sir.
This is like those word problems that we like did in school, mm-hmm. where you would read the word problem and there were little parts to give you a hint as to how to solve it. It would be like, Johnny had four apples. Sarah had three apples. Johnny gave Sarah one apple. How many apples does Sarah have? Like, and so you're paying attention and reading and going, okay, this okay. part I need, this part yeah. I don't need. So when he says this happened, first he says he flicked somebody off, okay? Right. So he was inviting trouble.
Right, which is the first error in your ways, sir.
Exactly. So
step one, don't do that.
The car stopped and the driver got out of the car. And it's the way he said he struck me in the face repeatedly.
Right.
I begged for my life. I assumed I saw my daughter for the life for the last time. Then he says, "This is life in New Orleans, sir."
Okay.
Sir, I could have told you, you don't do that in New Orleans. New Orleans is full of the nicest people who are ready to fight when needed.
When necessary.
New Orleans, I love New Orleans. My wife's family's from Louisiana. I've been to New Orleans. I love the food. I think it's the best food city in the country. I love New Orleans. And I also know that folks in New Orleans can fight when needed. So the fact that you... Like somebody said, this is what happens when you F around and you find out. This man F'd around and then found out.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
Then he, hours later, he said, "I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna tweet about it."
Right. That's the part, man. So look, this segment is all about shit that you should tweet or not tweet. Like, this was one of those circumstances where you should have just took your ass whooping like a man and just not tweet it, dude.
Bro, the ratio.
Look, my wife, I love her, and I feel like there is no way in hell we would have been jumping this dude. Like, if somebody get out of my car and punch me in the face, oh, my wife would have got fucking sticks, bats, whatever the hell was close enough, and she would have helped me get this motherfucker. He would have been swinging on both of us. Because
you know what? Former NFL player George Foster actually asked people, he said, be honest, ask your girl, ask your wife as your partner what she would do in that situation. And there was a couple women who was like, I would be fighting with my man. One woman said, I make sure my kid was secure in the car, then I'm running him over. Right. And I was like, ma'am, you do not need to catch a case. But here's the thing, too. So then there's more.
Right.
So later on, Andrew Yang, who ran for president, let me also just tell y'all, I don't like Andrew Yang. I don't like his politics. I don't think he's very smart. I think he's just running to make money. I think this Ford party is stupid. I don't like his politics and platform at all. I don't know him as a person. I don't care to talk about him as a person. But from a politics and platform standpoint, I think he's an idiot. Okay, that aside.
He
responded, "That's terrible, Eric. Hope you're all right. That's awful and messed up." Okay.
Hold on.
Eric.
I'm sorry, Eric. You are a biatch.
You know what? Eric, also, too, this is what happens when you don't have real friends.
Right.
Okay? Because if you had real friends, you'd have a group chat. And if you put this in the group chat, you would have got roasted in the group chat. Right. And you would have been like, you better not put that on the internet.
Please don't put that out there in the world.
But there's more. He said to Andrew Yang, "Thank you, brother. I'd give anything to be with the space chimps right now and eat 20 bags of Skinny Pop with you all right about now. Broken, but time heals all."
You know what else heals? Not getting into conflict if you're a biatch.
There's so much about this that tells me.
The mayor is not at fault, man. You are, sir. You are at fault.
So when you were talking, I went back to the tweet because I wanted to make sure that I was reading it completely. Because I screenshot it because I was like, and I'm glad I did. Because I'm like, this is magic. And then come to find out, because I was like, wait a minute. I don't see it. He deleted the tweet.
Did he delete it?
He deleted it.
You know what? I am so glad that you found that, because that is the perfect opener to this segment.
Because now this is a Hall of Fame tweet. This is now going to sit in the Hall of Fame because he deleted it. He could have taken his L.
Right. Like a man.
Think about this. This. Hold
on. Like a man, you should have taken that ass whooping like a man. Let's just be real about it.
He got whooped twice.
Twice.
He got whooped on the street for being disrespectful to somebody.
Right.
And then he went and volunteered to get whooped on Twitter.
Right. I'm sure people were drilling the fuck out of him. And I know you're probably, you might have been one of them, but bro. I know.
Bro. Look. Bro, it was, you should have seen the quote tweets, the way, the ratio, everything was so funny. And it was all these folks who were like, somebody said the CIA couldn't have beat that out of me.
Right, not even a little bit. Look, I would have just taken it and then just been like, call the police, this guy did it, and I'm out. So I couldn't face the world if I knew that happened and tell any human being about it.
Yo, it's like okay.
What's his name again?
His name is Eric Sanchez.
Eric Sanchez, thank you very much.
This man, and to go on the news, like.
That's the worst. That makes it even worse, man. You went on the news and talked about it.
This man pulled a Karen. I demand to speak with the city's manager.
I need to talk to the city's manager, please. Mayor?
Look, let me tell you something.
He took it all the way up to the mayor, man. That's an extreme Karen right there, dude. That is grade A Karen. Or what is it, Kevin's? There's Kevins and Karens, man. I think he's a Kevin. He took it all the way up to the person that's really in charge.
And you know what I think happened? I think that he's already on a campaign to recall the mayor. And I think in his mind, he thought, you know what? This safety issue is the kind of thing that we're fighting for. So let's, like, if somebody said, one woman said, if that was my man and he did that, I would just treat him like he's dead. Because
he dead to me.
yeah, she was like, yeah, it's over.
It's a wrap.
I mean, just a... So, okay, let me stop because I could go on and on. Oh, and look, I just
look, yo, speaking about taking ass whoopings, it's a man.
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
Hold on. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to find out, should he or should he have not tweeted this tweet? To tweet or not to tweet?
Yeah, let us know.
Since it's saying absolutely not, keep that shit.
I want to hear. Y'all can find me on Twitter at D Daniel B as in boy Troutman, like the fish, DB Troutman. I want to hear from you, particularly I want to hear from someone who says he should have. Because if you think that he should have tweeted that, I desperately, desperately need to hear like the logic there. But also, speaking of someone who invited conflict and wasn't prepared for it. We're going to talk about Chris Rock today. Yes. So I'm going to tee it up and for Banks, but first we'll just break down what happened in the newest entry in this saga that will never end. Chris Rock said that he was asked to do the Oscars next year and said no, because he said it would be like Nicole Brown Simpson going back to the crime scene where she was murdered to get her eyeglasses. So we will come back to that joke in a few minutes, but that came up. And then Banks and I were like, we've been meaning to talk about the slap. So
we haven't talked about it. I don't think we've talked about it in real life that long either. Like,
no, we have not, because every time he wants to talk about it, I just say, let's save it for the pod. Right. So I'm sure you've heard plenty of people talk about the slap. We're going to do it too, but hopefully it's entertaining. So Banks, you can go first. What did you think about the slap and where things stand now?
Okay. As us trying to be reasonable adults, I'm team Chris Rock. And the reason why is because I think Chris Rock handled himself like a fucking true G. He was like, I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna get niggerish on TV while all the world is watching. He said, I'm just gonna take it, joke about it, and keep it moving. I think he handled himself pretty well. I think that Will Smith was completely out of line. But I've had I've had opposition to that thought. So how'd you feel about it? You tell me.
Okay. Let's buckle up, kiddies. It's a deep breath. So years ago, Chris Rock told a joke about OJ killing Nicole Brown Simpson. And this all ties together. We'll come back to that. And the joke was basically, if you remember it, the joke was, I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. The point that Chris was making is that there are certain things that are not right, but the reasons behind why it happens is understood. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. So when it comes to Chris Rock getting the taste slapped out of his mouth by Will Smith.
The whole entire taste. His buds were sitting on the ground. Sorry.
I was team Will Smith. I am saying that I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. And here's why I thought it was understood. Because this is not the first time that Chris Rock has clowned on and gone after Jada. Okay. So he's done this before. He decided to make a joke about her, an old lame joke, mind you, a G.I. Jane joke, which is not funny, which is not relevant and not creative. So he made the joke. And I would argue this might be controversial, but I would argue that the reason he got slapped is because the joke wasn't funny. I believe that. People make jokes that are too far all the time. But if it's funny, people will let it slide. It wasn't funny.
Look, I need to interject for like 2 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to let you finish your point, but have you been to a comedy show? And have you sat in that first row?
I have not. You've I would not sit in the comedy. First row.
Why not?
Because I'm a get clown.
Right? That's what you go to comedy shows for. So if you're sitting in the first row, you got a comedian hosting, you might get clown. Take it and leave with it. It's fine.
That is a completely fair point if we're talking about a comedy show. It really is. But it wasn't at a comedy show. It was at an award show.
With a comedian hosting.
I get it. I hear what you're saying. Again, I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. And so when I look at it, I see that he made that joke. It wasn't funny. People get slapped for less every day. And Will Smith had enough. And also, this is a woman who has alopecia. Now, every time I have this discussion with people, they say, well, how's Chris Rock supposed to know that she had alopecia? Y'all, just because you don't know doesn't mean Hall of Fame comedian Chris Rock doesn't know. And I say this, Hall of Fame comedian Chris Rock either knew or he didn't know. If he knew and he still told the joke, well, guess what? Whatever happens, happens. If he didn't know, well, should have known. You kind of do your research when you write your jokes. I don't think you become a Hall of Fame comedian like Chris Rock and not do research for your jokes. I don't believe it. So
the comedians say offensive shit all the time. That's
right. But that doesn't mean that you can say whatever you want just because you're a comedian. It's never been like that. You bring up what happens at a comedy show. Well, guess what? Other stuff happens at a comedy show too. Not everybody's cool with
talking about alopecia too, which is not, it's very, very common and it is not life threatening.
It don't have to be life threatening.
If it was cancer and she was bald, then it would not be funny.
Okay, but it's not for us to decide how a black woman losing her hair affects her. That's not for us to decide.
Right. It's not.
That's for her to decide. Yeah. So, and what I think people miss is that Will Smith got up there and slapped him and then sat right back down. One slap, okay? Sat down and said, keep my wife's name out your mouth. Said it twice. And guess what? As a husband.
He didn't say that. Say what he really said.
No. I'm not going
to
do that.
Look, I try to get him to cuss all the time. He won't do it.
But I understood.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth. Sorry.
And I understood where he was coming from. I did. I understood. Again, I'm not saying it's right, but but I understand. I do think Chris Rock handled it the best he could given the unforeseen circumstances, but I also think that Chris Rock asked for it. I think this idea that you could say whatever you want just because you're a comedian is absolutely ridiculous. And I think it goes back to the Twitter, to tweet or not to tweet, we were just talking about. There's a whole bunch of people out here in these streets that want to be able to say whatever they want and do whatever they want without consequences. Right. And that's because a lot of people have not grown up. Right. That's really what it comes down to. Because when you're an adult, actions have consequences. We spent the past 2 years living amongst people who wanted to pretend like their actions when it comes to the pandemic and all these viruses, their actions don't have consequences. Sorry, that's not how it works. Grow up. So, your actions have consequences. So everybody in that situation had to deal with consequences because of their actions.
Right. So let me ask you a question. If he would have said that she looked like a scared turtle coming out of a shell or something funny and people would have laughed about it, which he did get some laughs. People would have laughed about it.
He didn't get that many laughs for that.
No.
He didn't
get a lot of laughs, but he got some.
Because there's so many all-time great comedians, whether it's Lenny Bruce, whether it's George Carlin, whether it's Dave Chappelle, whether it's Eddie Murphy, whoever. And Chris Rock is in the category of the all-time greats. He is.
For sure.
There's plenty of comedians who have said things that were controversial and people still thought it was funny. Right. Okay. Like, so again, I firmly believe that Chris Rock got slapped because it wasn't funny.
But let me ask you another question too.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have slapped another comedian that would have fought back, they would have been brawling on stage. The way that he handled that was completely ridiculous. And Will Smith's like, he's like the household name of black actors and black stars. And he's like a role model to so many people. Fucking, what's the Joyner Lucas song? Got a whole song about how Will Smith has inspired his life, you know? And you have a person on that high of a pedestal that is looked upon as, you know, like a hero to a lot of people. But then, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't conduct himself like people that admire him are watching. I thought it was completely way off base. And no matter what he said, there was a better way to handle it than walking up on a stage in the middle of a freaking award show that millions of people are watching and slap somebody in the face. There's no reason in the world to ever do that, especially if you're a household name and especially if you're a role model to so many people. And then all these people that loved him and stuff now are like, fucking Will Smith, like the dude that slapped Chris Rock.
And you know what? A couple things. First, when it comes to Will being a box office name and stuff, Will talks about this in his memoir, about how, you know, he grew up in an abusive environment. His father was alcoholic. His father was abusive. And his father beat on his brother and his mother a lot. And Will Smith always, he internalized trauma because he couldn't, like, be there for his mom. He felt like he didn't do enough to protect her. And I think that played a role in what he did. I honestly do. Again, I'm not saying it's right, but I understand. So when we talk about Will Smith being, you know, box office, he's still box office. Right. And when we talk about him being a role model in his career, I would argue that Will Smith is still a role model because he did something that people consider terrible. I don't think it's nearly as terrible as everybody makes it out to be. But I really don't, because there's more terrible things that happen every day that people let slide. But he did something that people were very upset about, and he apologized. He made amends. The man apologized. That's what a role model should do. Like, Will Smith did something that upset a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then he apologized for it. He's apologized more than once. He had a heartfelt, tearful apology. His eyes were red. He apologized for what he did. Okay. And so, like, at some point, let it go. Not to you, but to the people who are upset. Let it go, because because that's what a role model should do. I did something wrong. I messed up. I'm taking ownership for it. I'm suffering for it because he lost projects for it. He's banned from the Oscars for 10 years. Like he's paying a price. He's going to continue to pay a price. But at some point, I look at that and say, okay, it moves on. However, Chris Rock is still doing the same stuff that got him slapped in the first place.
Right.
Because he made that joke about Jada, and now he's making a joke about a woman who was murdered,
right,
who's a victim of domestic violence. And at some point, I'm just saying, this is how you stop people from doing stuff like this.
I've always said a good comedian is gonna make fun of everybody and everything. When you watched the Dave Chappelle show, right? Back in the day, it was probably one of my favorite comedy sketch shows of all time. I watched that, and there was so much flagrant, disrespectful shit that was on that show. And it was all funny. It was all great. And
that's the key.
And nobody gave a shit about it. The white people that were being made fun of laughed about it. The black people that were being made fun of laughed about it. Like, it was literally like everything that came out of his mouth during that comedy schedule was fucking fantastic.
And he said not all of it, because when you go back, not all of it aged well. But the point is, it was. But again, that's the key. You're making
funny.
That's my point. It was funny. So like, you go back and watch the N-word family, right? The white people whose last name is the N-word. That is genius. It's hilarious.
It's amazing.
Or the Charlie Murphy, Clarence Bigsby.
Yep.
It's one of my all-time favorites. But those were all funny. So, again, to me, the issue with what Chris Rock did is that it wasn't funny. I've heard Bill Burr make some jokes, and Doug Stanhope, and there's a number of folks. They've made jokes. Doug Stanhope does a particularly dark form of comedy, right, that I would never recommend to anyone. It is dark. But here's the thing. It's funny to his audience.
Right.
To his people, it's funny. That's the key. Comedians cannot say whatever they want. Comedians have to make jokes. It has to be funny. And that's part of the problem, is what we've done with comedians is we've made them into like these philosopher kings, where we say, okay, you can say whatever you want because you're going to make us laugh. What happens when they don't make you laugh? You know what you get?
Slap in the face.
No. You get Dave Chappelle, who uses his platform because he was once very funny.
Right.
And then he uses his platform to punch down on LGBTQIA folks.
Right.
That's what Dave does now. I don't think Dave's that funny anymore. But there was a time that Dave was very funny. And so here's the last thing I have to say about the slap.
All right.
I have one more thing to say. There are people, there's a defense I hear all the time. And okay, so let me just say this. Your position, Banks, I think is legitimate. It's fair. I hear you. I think you're making really good points, okay? Mm-hmm. Your position doesn't bother me at all, because I'm like, okay, I see where we're both coming from. But there's a certain type of person who pisses me off in this discussion. And it's the person who says, well, just violence never solves anything. That person pisses me off.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why they piss me off. Because that's a lie.
It is a lie.
And it's always been a lie. And it will always be a lie. And the people who tell you that, they don't believe it themselves either. Because if you really believe violence never solves anything, then don't ever call the police.
Right.
The police are nothing more than state-sanctioned violence.
Right.
If you think violence doesn't solve anything, I don't ever want to hear you celebrate the 4th of July.
Right. Or you know, just the...
Or the military.
All the wars and military, right. You don't want to celebrate any part of that because, you know, it's... violence doesn't solve anything, so let's just...
Yeah, violence doesn't solve anything, but if they see a suspicious person walking in their neighborhood, they're right. calling the police.
Right.
But violence doesn't solve anything. Violence doesn't solve anything, but then you celebrate every year that the United States got into a a bloody war with Britain right. so that we could be the country that we are today. But violence doesn't solve anything. Oh, violence doesn't solve problems. Oh, okay, so then what was the Civil War about?
Right.
People do this all the time, and they'll say, well, that's not what I mean. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's not what I mean. No, you don't know what you mean. Because if you say violence doesn't solve anything, okay, well, then renounce all violence. If somebody...
if you flip somebody off...
Exactly. That's why I started laughing. I thought about it. I was like, man, if somebody flips you off, you better not get out of that car and start beating them down.
Just wave at them. Give them a flower.
Do you know how much of a lack of self-awareness you have to have right. to be like, hey, y'all, I want to tell everybody about the biggest L I ever took in my life. Yo!
I commend it. But the last thing I'm going to say about
that man, hold on real quick. That man turned on Sesame Street with his kid that morning.
Yeah.
And they was like, the letter of the day is L. He was like, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
L is in llama. Man took two L's.
But look, can your wife look at you the same?
Nope.
If you get your ass whipped in front of her, your kid. Like, I mean, it's one thing to get your ass whipped. Like, but to just lay there and play dead and then tweet about
it. And then whip limp.
I'm going to die over here coughing.
It couldn't be me, bro. Look, I am
going to continue fighting until I am dead because I don't think that my wife and child will ever look at me the same if I just got my ass stone cold whipped and not did a damn thing. But then again, like I said, man, you know, this ain't Chris Rock and Will Smith, so I mean, I guess it's cool. The last thing I want to say about it, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is okay, we're watching this, and this is my issue with the whole experience and why I thought everything was fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. If I am walking down the street and there is a cop standing there on the street, and I walk up to somebody and slap them across the face, I will get locked up. And I just, my problem with this whole situation is that not one cop, I mean, millions of cops saw this. Millions of people saw this. They could pull anybody that was watching the award show, anybody that took the picture of the slap, anybody, they could have called anybody as a witness that saw that and the filming of the show. And he should be arrested. Like, and the fact is that...
Oh, come on.
Is that he's a celebrity, and celebrities get away with shit. It's just like our podcast the other day, man. Like, poor man's crimes. Like, look, if you're going to commit a poor man's crime, you should get arrested like a poor man. You know, if Bill Gates was shoplifted in a store, he should get arrested. Let's just be real. Bill Gates don't have to shoplift, but you know, if he was shoplifting in the store, he's committing a poor man's crimes. So you should get arrested.
Look. First of all,
and I like to say that because that's how I feel about it. Because I know that if I did the same thing, it would be a completely different situation.
Yeah, but the problem is the analogy you're making isn't comparable. First of all, you wouldn't just be walking down the street and slapping somebody.
Right.
It would be you walking down the street and somebody insults your wife.
Yeah.
And then you decide to slap them.
Right.
In which case, if Banks called me up and said, hey, man, look, I had to spend the night in jail because this man walked up to me and insulted my wife and I slapped the taste out of his mouth, I'd be like, okay, well, everything all right with your job, buddy? Are you good? Like, has your employment been interrupted? Oh, okay, you're good. Great. Because if that person didn't want the smoke, they shouldn't have been talking about your wife like that. Now, right. The thing about the Oscars is a production.
Right.
Okay. At the end of the day, it's a production. And on set, I'm pretty sure people be getting into fights and they don't automatically call the police. Right. They might try to just solve it. You know what I'm saying? So the way I see it, at the end of the day, this was a kerfuffle. a kerfuffle between two rich men.
You get 500 points just for that word alone.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike. Thank you, dear sir. But this was, you know, a little dust up between two rich people. Ain't got nothing to do with us. Everybody gonna be fine. Chris Rock is gonna milk this because he's gonna act as the victim for the rest of his life. Will Smith is going to be punished for it, even though you got people out here doing far worse stuff slide. So
I completely agree with you.
It didn't need no police. But I will tell you this. All the folks who called for the police, all the folks like Judd Apatow and all these other lame folks, I bet you they're quiet about that Nicole Brown Simpson joke that Chris Rock made.
Oh, yeah. No, they're shutting the fuck up about that.
I bet you they're quiet now. Because you know what it is? It's okay to make the joke about the black woman.
Right.
I have always said, and I'll wrap this up. I've always said that Chris Rock, if he had made that joke about like Angelina Jolie or somebody, or Jennifer Aniston, let's say they had alopecia or a medical condition.
Right.
First of all, he would have never made the joke. And if he had made the joke, I don't believe he would have. And if he had, I think the whole place would have booed him. I think everybody would have been like, boo. Yeah.
No,
that's not cool.
Hey, look, I completely concur with that.
Yeah,
100%.
They would have been like, hey, bro, don't do that. But it happened to Jada. And so they did the thing of like, like kind of a little, I think there was a little bit of like, oh, come on. But it wasn't no boo. Oh, yeah. They would have let him have done that to one of the
pants off of him.
Oh, they would have booed the brakes off that.
I completely agree with that 100%.
The truth got to him, y'all. That's why he coughing. My words got to him. He was like, oh, I feel it in my chest. So, look, everybody, we thank y'all so much for listening. We're trying to make sure we give y'all great podcasts. And so we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Banks, is there anything you want to leave with the beautiful people?
Hey, be good humans.
Be good humans. Look, y'all, everything that can be solved. Don't flip people off. Just otherwise, you got to take your beat.
You don't know what's coming after that.
That man was like, the only thing I could do to live was play like a dead fish.
And the thing is, as large as a human being as I am, when people flip me off, I'm like, what if I did just get out the car and just start whooping your ass?
It would be a to tweet or not to tweet
I
moment.
I need them to tweet it and say, this dude, Alexander the Great Banks, whipped my ass because I flipped him off.
I'm telling you, bro, 3 years from now, he going to tweet something and they're going to be like, ain't you the one who flipped that dude off and got beat and then pretended you was dead?
I bet you he'll never flip off another human being ever again in his life.
For all the people who say violence don't solve anything, I bet you he will never do it in New Orleans again.
Ever again. Violence solves some stuff.
It does sometimes. It does.
It works.
Well, thank y'all so much for listening. Be good humans, and we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.